Welcome to another edition of Inside the Rebels. It is the Thanksgiving edition, or the day after. I'm Joe Arrigo. With me, as always, is the man with the master plan, the three-letter machine, JVT, John Von Tobel. What's up, brother?
Nothing, man. Still recovering from last night.
Yeah, you're feeling it. Like,
Well, because yesterday was Thanksgiving, so I decided to spend, and not to go into too much detail, but let's just say my position here at the radio station recently has been solidified. Let's just put it that way, right?
Which is a good thing.
So I decided to celebrate yesterday and go spend a little bit of money when I went grocery shopping. And I like scotch, like, a lot. I like scotch, whiskey, bourbon, all that stuff.
I was on that McLennan.
Okay.
Something like that. The night before Thanksgiving with my brothers. But okay. I'll talk about that after you're done.
So I go out to the store and I try to get a bottle of the Glenfiddich, and they were out of it. So I got I don't know if you ever had Chivas Regal.
Yes.
Yes. And my girlfriend got me a whiskey decanter for my birthday. So I got the nice glass set up, and I got the crystal glasses, put some ice in it, and I just drank it on the rocks all night. And got pretty toasted, got really full. And by the time the Colts game started, I was in a really good mood, and that ultimately went kind of down. But ultimately, it was a good night. Good night. Lots of food, family, and alcohol. So
mine was football and family yesterday. Yeah, my mother-in-law flew in, but both my brothers are in town. My brother Quan and my brother Bossy. Quan came in with my nephews are in this NYFC football tournament going on out here. They're all over the place. Like we're at Fountain Park, but Bonanza, Del Sol, Liberty. I mean, there's like 9 different sites out here, parks and high schools that there's games going on. There's like 90-something plus teams.
I used to actually coach in NYS.
Okay.
That was a smaller league, but we won the championship our first year there. The Henderson Colts, actually.
You played the Henderson Colts?
Yeah, with Henderson Colts. I didn't even pick the name. They were already the Henderson Colts, so
nice.
That's why I signed up. I was like, all right.
You're with me.
Yeah. I understand the scene out here. There's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, and I didn't expect this. So my brother asked for me to get my, asked me if my son Peanut wanted to play on it, and of course, he's 14 and under. He's 14, so he jumped on, and he's actually in studio with us today. We'll talk to him in a minute.
I was going to ask him, actually, like, what position do you play usually? You can talk.
I usually play receiver and corner.
So you're an athlete.
Yeah, pretty much.
I hit him in the face with the mic.
I know, my bad. I was trying to pull the mic down for him.
I know.
So,
I was going to.
So yesterday, so being that my brother-in-law who lives up here, he's in town. He's obviously in town. My mother-in-law, then my brothers, and then their mom and their dad, and it was it's just a big family affair, uncles. So we were down at Fountain Park and watching the Billings Outlaws destroy Simi Valley Vikings. Were they, Peanut?
Yeah,
destroying them 34-0. My nephew had a touchdown, led the team in tackles. Peanut had a fumble recovery for a touchdown and a 2-point conversion. So it was a good day. It was a good day. Good Thanksgiving. And then ate afterwards, and I crashed because the night before we were at the Rio, because that's where everybody's staying.
Yeah.
On that scotch, amongst other things, yeah. My brothers and I, and we were, I didn't get home till like 5:30 in the morning.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was up by like 8.
Yeah, no, it's cool. It's cool having all these days off. This is my first real job, so like all the other days, like at Starbucks or all the other jobs I used to have, always had to work all these days. And ever since I've been here at the station, I've gotten, Thanksgiving, the day after, the whole weekend.
Christmas, the day after.
Yeah, New Year's Eve, depending on what day it's on, the day after.
Right.
So it's been fascinating to actually have this time off to go get. Like yesterday, I felt like I was doing something wrong because I was drunk by like 2 o'clock. And I was like, man, I feel like I should be doing something productive.
You were.
Yeah, that's true. I was.
Well, speaking of doing something productive, that's what UNLV is looking to do this weekend as they take on the Wolfpack of Nevada. And yes, it is the battle for the Fremont Cannon. It is the rivalry game, the in-state championship. And UNLV is looking to get their 5th win on the year while Nevada is looking to get their 4th. And this could be a situation where Polian is coaching for his job for Nevada. But let's talk about UNLV for a minute. They've really done a good job as far as just growing, I think, growing the program. That's Tony. And coming off a loss to Boise State where, yes, I was wrong when I predicted them to win, but I was right that they would cover.
You got lucky on that one.
I got lucky.
You definitely got lucky on that one.
But I was, talking about the Boise game, honestly, John, there were points in that game where I really was watching them like they're not that far away from them. Like, there was points where I was really? I caught myself. Yeah, I mean, and
I'll let you finish your point, but to be honest with you, I thought the complete opposite watching it.
Well, I know you did. I know you did. But and I'm gonna tell you. I'm gonna tell you why. In particular, against like, I'll say Central Michigan, San Diego State, and Boise State. Excuse me. I'm looking at it like those schools are big up front. And that's where they really took it to UNLV, because they're so big up front. They dominated the line of scrimmage. But there were times where UNLV did the same thing to them. Now, there's your top four receivers are out for the year. Your number one running back didn't play. You're really thin on defense. Really, I think maybe your top defensive back in Jackson didn't play. They still competed to the very end and kept it with, was it 17? I mean, it was a 28.5-point spread on it. So there were times in that game where they weren't that far with their fourth-string quarterback.
Mm.
That's not that far off, in my opinion.
See, the reason I thought the way I did is, and you kind of touched on it, when you watched that game, they were so, and I'm just looking at offensive line versus defensive line, because, and we'll get into McNichols and individual performances. Boise State was so much bigger, stronger, and more physical than they were throughout the whole entire night. They were just getting pushed off the line. They were driving guys back. I mean, without Talo Tulele, who had one of his best games year, he was beating the crap out of Jeremy McNichols. And I believe he caused two fumbles on his own. But UNLV was just so overmatched physically. 2 years down the road, maybe they will be when you have these guys. Because the offensive line, relatively young. They're deep. Next year, they're only going to lose one guy, barring any transfers, anything like that, and it's Kreitler. So maybe two years down the road, in this program, hitting the weight room, this offensive line will be able to match up, or this defensive line will be able to match up, things like that, offensive line as well, to get pushed against guys who are just, they look like a real football team, essentially. Not saying that UNLV does it, but just the physical size. When you watch the matchup on the field, when they walked out there for the first time, I'm like, wow, Boise State has just size on these guys, and it's insane.
We think it was like the SMU 30 for 30, where you see them walking out next to Texas, and there's like a 7-inch almost, gap like, in height.
And just weight and everything like that. And when you watch, like I said, and you kudos to you, because Boise State didn't push the tempo, but they didn't have to. Because it was just, okay, we'll run it.
I can with that.
Run it. Run it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's all they had to do all game long. And that's why, you know, 2 years down the road, maybe they'll match up physically. But I just feel like when there's a gap like that, when it comes to physicality, that's not going to be fixed overnight or next season.
McNichols is going pro this year.
Oh, he's awesome.
So, yeah, and he's a good four tuggies that game. I mean, that's nice.
Mm.
But I'll say this. UNLV does have help on the way in the form of next year. They just signed a recruit from Northern California, named Ashton Morgan, 6'5", 290 senior. I've seen this kid play on Huddle a few times, because my cousin is actually on his team. And this kid is a monster up front. Big, strong, athletic, long, offensive line and defensive line. 6'5", 290 coming in. He's got it, so obviously he'll probably get another inch in height and about 30 pounds in weight by the time he leaves. So you figure by the time 6'6", 330, 320, 330, left tackle, prototypical. So they're going in the right direction. But, you know, what I learned about the Boise State game, too, is, and I don't know, like, obviously you watched it.
Yeah.
And the commentators, Tony's getting a bunch of credit.
Oh, for sure.
Everybody is on Tony. Now, somebody on Inside the Rebels in one of the forums brought up a very, I think it was JD on in Inside the Rebels forums. He's worried about Tony in the next 2 years leaving, because he says, you know, we have somebody that's a very, very good head football coach building a program. Look at who he's recruiting, how he's recruiting with currently the tools, what he's working with recruiting. He was like, he's a Power Five type coach. He's getting that type of recognition nationally from a lot of the guys, you know, calling the games. I don't think that's the case, because I think he wants to see everything through with the Fertitta Football Complex, which should be done next year, hopefully.
I believe it done, yeah, within 9 months, I believe.
Yeah, so they're starting in February, so, you know, towards the start of the season, with potentially the stadium. I think he wants to see all that through. But he said, you know, maybe it's a blessing in disguise that they don't win six games this year. Because maybe if he would have won six, you may have a school like Texas who may, you know, honestly lose out on Tom Herman, to LSU or to another school.
I don't think Texas is going to come calling. I don't think he's going to come calling if they win six or five games. I mean,
But the point is, you went from a 1 or 2 win team to a 3 win team, and let's assume they win Saturday, to a 5 win team. Mm. And that's 2 wins a year, correct? So you 2 win plus. So next year you figure it's 7 wins. Then 9, then 11, then 13. Like, and that 13 would be, if you're just going 2 wins a year, that's when his first class as freshmen are seniors, his guys. So I think there is, you can have some type of nervous, you don't have to be the cat with the long tail in a room full of rocking chairs type nervous, but I think you there is some type of nerves, or you should have some type of nerves going down the road and going forward. In terms of whether or not Tony's, you know, star, which is already bright, is going to start and shine even brighter. Maybe, you know, let's say a Washington State if somebody leaves. I mean, I think those are the type of jobs, the next step for him if he decides to leave UNLV and go from there.
The things I would respond to that is, so we're saying, what, 3 years down the road, you'd be worried that he might leave, right?
Yeah.
But let's just look at everything else, right? 3 years down the road, hopefully that stadium's done.
It'll be done by 2020.
Okay, so hopefully then it's coming, right?
Yeah.
And then then let's just put it this way. Hopefully that stadium is coming, right? It's under construction, almost done. You would think by that time he's made the improvements that we talked about. Let's just say he has. He's still doing his 2-game-a-year increase per year. That means, you know, UNLV is going to get some attention, because not only do you have the football complex by that time, you have a stadium coming at that time, and if they've already gotten better in wins, okay, who knows that they're not already in the works for moving into a Power 5 conference by that time.
And an apparel deal.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Plus that. So you get more money on multiple fronts. You can actually pay Tony more. He'll stick around. I mean, you can be nervous, but there's also things that are going into it that you can look at and be like, well, UNLV's situation is improving, so thus they might be able to back out some money and pay him enough to keep him around. Because if he goes to like a, I don't know, not Washington State, but just like a bottom-tier Pac-12, something around that nature. Yeah.
Well,
I know what you're saying, though, like around that level.
But
what, $2 million?
$3 million? Pac-12 right now is UCLA,
mm-hmm.
Arizona.
And how much would they pay him?
UCLA, well, because it's a state school, Mora had to get an increase in boosters helped. He's at like 3 to 4 this year. I think he's making 4. So 2.5, I think.
So hopefully UNLV can keep him around for $2.5 million. And that's like, what, 4 years down the road. So
yeah, and there's no state tax, so that helps.
Yeah.
More than California, where it's,
I mean, there's lots of things going for this program that I think, and he's so personally invested, like living out here, being the Fertitta's right-hand guy, being just a key figure in the complex and things of that nature. So I guess you can be worried, but I don't think you're going to have to be worried, because UNLV will be able to keep him when it comes time.
I don't think he's Tom Herman.
Yeah.
I'll say that.
Well, and that's the thing, too. I don't think, like, if a Texas does come calling, then be nervous, because, I mean, it's Texas. If Nick Saban retires and Alabama comes calling, yeah. But, you know, those are all very pie-in-the-sky situations,
right,
I think. And that's
right.
Nothing against Tony. I just – and I also think, to remember, there might be a stigma still with that whole straight from high school deal. You know, maybe some people aren't really sold yet and want to see more. So
that's true.
The future only tell.
And you brought up the Fertittas, and I found this interesting. And I don't know, maybe you know the answer to this. Or if you guys know, please let me know.
Mm-hmm.
One of the major booster for the University of Houston, last name is Fertitta. And he said there is.
I noticed that, yeah.
And he's a multi-billionaire. I think he's worth like an excess of like $2.5 to $3 billion or something like that. And he said that, you know, there, if it comes down to money, Houston won't be outbid by anybody. He'll make sure of it. So I wonder, is he related to the Fertittas out here? I mean, because it's not like that's just a common name. And it's not like, how many billionaires named Fertitta are there in the world?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, obviously Lorenzo and his brother, they're worth, I mean, obviously they sold USC and they walked away with over $3 billion or roughly $3 billion just for that deal alone. And all the money they donated to UNLV and to Gorman. I'm interested to know, and JVT's looking it up, whether or not that they're related to each other. Because, I mean, how many times would a family be How many families can say that they are invested in at least two Division I schools, two of which are on the up on the come up, being Houston and UNLV?
Don't think they're related.
Okay.
You ever been to Landry's down there on Sahara near the 15?
No.
It's a seafood spot. He's the I guess he's the CEO of that chain. But it doesn't look like they're related to the Fertittas here.
Hmm. I may have to dig deeper into that one. Say, a Landry's in Vegas.
No. I mean, there's a Landry's chain, here. Yeah, it's just a chain.
Okay.
But he's actually, I got a whole bunch of Houston roots from what it looks like.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
born in Galveston, Texas, lives in Houston, went to Houston.
He's a Houston.
Yeah.
Okay.
Number 235 on the Forbes 400 list of wealthiest Americans.
Still not number whatever
Sheldon Forbes calls Madison him is. The world's richest restaurateur.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hmm. But let's just move on to Nevada, because Boise obviously was a tough loss, but it wasn't a bad one on national
television. Rivalry week, bro. It's Reno. You don't call them Nevada.
Whatever. Okay. Hmm? I'll know that.
Say whatever. Watch the emails come flying in after people listen to this.
Look, bottom line is this. You know you're living in Reno when you get a full set of teeth by lining 32 people up next to each other.
Ridiculous. I don't know if it was that funny. It was good.
I thought it was funny. No, there are some really clever ones out there.
Yeah.
You know.
Some not so clever ones either. Let's refrain from comparing this to the Holocaust. Saw a couple of those.
Yeah.
Let's not do that.
Yeah. There are certain ones there's certain things you just don't touch.
Yeah.
That being one of them. But I look at Reno, and honestly, I thought they'd be better going into this year than what they were and what they are. And you have to question whether or not Polian is who was winning with Alt's guys is winning with his guys. Can he win with his guys?
Mm.
I'm not impressed with them. I'm really not. I know you throw out the windows when it comes to Reno. You throw out the record. Throw the records out the window when it comes to Reno. But I'm not. I don't see the big deal with them. Mm. I think UNLV probably should win this game pretty handily. Especially if they get Lex Thomas back, which I think they will.
Yeah, Reno against Utah State, I believe gave up around 7.7 yards per carry, which is a recipe for success for UNLV, because all you got to do is come out, control the pace of the game, and like you mentioned, if Lex comes back, then that's even better for you, because you're going to have your full complement of backs. And by the way, since Lex has been out, that full complement of backs, Xavier Campbell, has stepped up.
Big time.
you have four guys who have shown that they'll be successful running the ball no matter what. So the running game is definitely a big deal here. I mean, I'm with you. I think, I don't know about winning handily, UNLV on the surface should win this game. I think Reno's offense is going to be a little tough to handle. It'll be a high-scoring game, I believe that one. But running game's definitely something they want to lean on, especially Kurt. You know, Kurt's been playing well, but he's done a lot better when that running game can step up. And, I mean, last week he was 10 of 20. I think we barely touched 100. I had it right here.
Yeah, 113. I mean, but you don't have receivers.
Well, you don't have receivers, and I mean, Boise, it goes back to that physicality thing. They were blowing up the offensive line. They were getting back. They were stopping the run, and UNLV didn't really do well. So the running game definitely has to step up. 189 total yards rushing against Boise State, so you don't want that.
Well, I'll tell you what, Xavier has really played his tail off. I've been impressed with him.
And he, to be honest with you, because I thought going into the season, it was going to be him and Lex.
Yeah, you talked about Lex.
He's done a lot better. I mean, you thought maybe he was going to be more of a power guy, but he's shown he can get on the edge and get a little speed and take those swing passes and get some yards. So he's definitely, again, he stepped up his game. He looks a lot better.
Next year, UNLV will have one of the top running back stables in the country, in the entire country. You'll have Lex, Chuck, Campbell. You'll have Evan Owens, who, if you talk to anybody in the program, and I talked about him earlier in the year when I wasn't sure if they're going to redshirt him or not, anybody in the program, from Tony to the coaching staff to people that see, they'll tell you Evan Owens is a guy that they've compared to Eric Dickerson, like his type of skill and the way he runs. They're really high on him. And then they got a JUCO recruit coming in from Sacramento that is a 1,300-yard rusher this year. And I think he had like 14 touchdowns. They're gonna be at least five deep in that backfield. And then there's a couple local kids from Centennial that are one's red shirting and one is gray shirting that's there as well. So there's you're looking at a group of running backs where Tony has his choice of does he want speed, does he want power, does he want balance. UNLV is going to be a very good running team next year. Now, of course, you have to question the receiving corps because they only have six receivers on scholarship right now. Four of those guys are hurt. Most schools carry 12, so you have six or seven that are suited up for game day. I do believe that this week against Reno, you'll see them pound the ball, but I would like to see Palandek take a shot deep. At least just, you can't come up and play that 8-9 in the box with us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just take a shot. You know, Trosclair can get deep. You know, Flowers can get deep. I'd like to see a little bit of that. But I'm going to give credit where credit is due. Palandek has impressed me more than I ever would have imagined. Yeah. You know, I watched him in spring. I watched him at some of the practices prior to the season. I was not impressed with him. I'm still not impressed with the velocity coming up, but I know that's what he is. But he has played the last three games, two, three games, he's really played well. And I give him credit.
Well, and again, it helps when you have something to lean on. In two of those games, I mean, against Wyoming, he had a very solid running game to lean on.
Yes.
And so it just depends on if this team can be balanced. And Reno is a team that gives up rushing yards, and that's what you have to go to. It's your strength. And with Kurt, like you said, you already know what he is. And he's performed admirably. Take care of the football. And that's been like this old message throughout the whole entire thing. That was the issue with Johnny at the beginning of the year. There's the issue with Dalton, other than the fact that he was completely ineffective at times. It's take care of the football. Kurt's done that while he stepped in. And defensively for UNLV, I mean, I think it's kind of the same recipe for Reno in that they're going to try to run the ball. James Butler averaging 5 yards carry for him. So is Jackson Kincaid with 4.4. So, I mean, they're going to try to run the ball on him.
Well, that means they're not going to throw deep.
Which, depending on if they have success with the running game, then that leads you to play action over the top. And this is, again, a defense that's coming off a game where they got physically manhandled. So how do they bounce back and step up against a Reno team who's going to try to physically go at them again?
Yeah, and I would agree that up front, they got to continue run blitzing. They got to continue to beat them at the point of attack, use their hands, get physical with their hands, use violent hands. In the secondary against Boise, Mouton played one hell of a game. I thought Darius had a very good game defending the deep pass. He didn't get burnt on it. He made some good plays. I actually like him in the slot. I think he's a more effective slot corner than he is outside. I think too, even with McTyre, he's good. He's another guy I prefer in the slot, but you can't have a bunch of slot corners and them not play outside. So you get what you have. They're all very good in run support. They all are coming up willing to hit for the most part. There's been a few times where they've made business decisions, but generally speaking, they come up pretty. They feel really well. I like what I see with them in terms of this game. I think they fit well in this game. Of who they're going against, as far as it's not a square peg in a round hole, who they're playing against, like when they played against a Central Michigan or even a Colorado State, for that matter. Even though in the second half they outscored them 28-7, they still lost 42-28 or 40-something-28. So at the end of the day, I like UNLV in this game against Reno because I think you're going to see the running. It wouldn't surprise me if you see that as a team, UNLV run for close to 400 yards.
And for the Wolfpack, Ty Gangi making his, looks like it's fifth start. He played okay against Utah State, 13-26, 127, and one touchdown. Did you watch the end of that game? Did you watch the game at all last week?
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
They essentially went on a walk-off. It was somewhat of a thrilling game. But when you have a guy in Ty Gangi who they don't have a lot of film on, could present a challenge for a secondary that's been burned quite a few times this year.
Yeah, it could be. I'm gonna give LaRussa and J.D. Williams, the secondary coaches, a little bit of credit. But where I think UNLV needs to improve on this game big time is special teams.
Oh yeah, their special teams was not great against Boise,
and that was a big point of you know, one of the reasons why I think that I was giving up that much field position. I mean, I think that the returner Davis, I believe his name was, he had like 147 yards on two returns.
Almost had that touchdown too.
Yeah,
pulled down what it was like.
It was 10. A 73-yard return, and he got pulled down like the 12-yard line or something.
I believe it was
like
still Pantelis was punting too. Some of the punts, horrible. And maybe he was just he was getting some pressure. He had to roll out on a couple of them.
Where's the kicker backer at?
Yeah, well, he lost his job to Pantelis.
Man, he nailed the game-winning field goal the week before.
That was his first action though all season,
and he came in clutch.
Yeah.
Roll with this is Vegas, baby. Stay with the hot hand.
Yeah, but Pantelis has been hot all year long. And then you're just gonna be like, sorry, kid. Get out of here.
Now Pantelis is actually he's had a good, very good year. Yeah. I'm just that's tongue in cheeks. I'm just joking. Uh-huh. You know, but
no, but I'm with you. The special teams has to improve. And actually I'm glad you brought that up because I kind of forgot about that until you brought it up. And it was like flashbacks just hitting me. The punts were terrible. Giving up
shot.
Pressure. Yeah, right. That's why I have this coffee. I'm trying to get it in my system. No, but special teams for sure. And you know what? Bolian actually a former special teams coordinator, so who knows? Maybe he's got some tricks up his sleeve, right?
Special teams coordinators normally make the best head coaches, to be honest with you, because they have to know.
Look at John Harbaugh in the NFL, huh?
Harbaugh, Cowher, he was one. And a lot of it has to do because they have to know personnel. And that means they have to know offense and defense, and they have to know the scope of the team versus if someone's just an offensive coordinator, they're focused solely on that side of the ball. So that's why a lot of the really good coaches are guys who have been special teams coaches. And I think that's going to be a huge X factor for them. The one thing that, especially when it comes to special teams, and here's a little coaching 101, and I know La Russa fairly well. He's very good at that, so with his job as far as coaching special teams. Sorry, my phone's going off and I have to give it to my wife, or my son is my wife.
Better answer that one.
Yeah, right. You have to, when you're on special teams, when you're going running down the lane, you pinpoint the outside hip and you're watching that outside hip, and that's your target area as a group. And you gotta, when you come down, you gotta run your angles, unless if you have outside contain, and at that you run the line behind him. A lot of guys just think, oh, you just run down and hit somebody. No, it doesn't quite work that way. So I think you're going to see that being a point of emphasis this week for UNLV.
Everything going good out there?
I guess he's talking
you
to
in
the
trouble?
Wife. No.
Okay.
She had to work. She works in the service industry like you used to.
Oh yeah,
food service industry,
best industry there is.
Yeah, so she had to work today, which. She don't normally call me when she's at work, so that's why I'm like, okay. So
emergency.
I don't think it's an emergency, is it? No? Okay, not an emergency. So that's a good thing. Sorry about that, folks. You can see a little personal right there.
It's all right.
Yeah, but I think you're going to have to see that with special teams. You're going to see special teams be a big point of emphasis this week. And I would hope that they would play a little bit better. But also keep in mind when it comes to special teams, and you know this, JVT, special teams is very indicative of the depth of your team.
Mm-hmm.
And with so many injuries, you're forced to play players that normally are just special teams players. And guys that may not be on special teams are there. So sometimes people can get loose because those guys aren't used to playing.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what happened this week.
Yeah, no, I saw your tweet with Granny. I thought that made some sense. It's a good point to bring up. And they're getting so thin, you know, by the time the final game comes around. I think let me look at this. Was Snead their leading receiver last week?
No, I only had the one catch. I thought.
Oh, he was their leading receiver at halftime.
Yeah,
that's
at
what
halftime.
It was. It's ridiculous.
Hey, you know what though? I thought he ran a good route.
Oh, he did. He did.
I was real like surprised. I was like, damn, Dalton
took some contact. Everything. I still think next year when that comes back around, I still think they got it wrong. I still think Kurt makes the better wide receiver.
Yeah, but here's the thing, and you talked about Dalton, the cactus cooler, not having his moments where he couldn't get the offense going.
Yeah.
At least with Palahniuk, the offense, for the most part, is going.
Yeah.
You know.
Very true.
And I'll say this. And it to me, at the beginning of the Boise State game, and there's no other way I could put it, Palahniuk looked scared to me. The first series or two.
I think you just hate this dude.
I don't hate him. No. He looked scared. The offense, the team in general, on offense, looked like they were intimidated a little bit.
Well, I think, again, when you watched him on the field, I mean, those uniforms were sick. The black with the white, but man, physically, Boise State was bigger, more dominant than them. And every time they tried to run the ball, they had a Boise State defender 2 yards upfield with a man just kind of like holding on to him.
riding them back.
Yep.
Gotta, you're making us, albeit, yes, the game wasn't as, it was a 17-point game. But what you're making it sound like they got blown up by like 45.
No, but when you watch the game, you can tell there was a difference in physicality. And again, it goes back to what did Boise want to do? I mean, they barely Rippon had, let's see, Rippon had 20 attempts. He was 10 of 20. To me, that's, we don't need to do much. We're just going to hand it off and outman you, and that's what they did. I mean, look at McNichols, 31 carries. Boise State doesn't do that.
Well, how many carries did he have the week before? I thought he had over, I thought they pound the ball with him more than what you're
doing.
They
give him a lot. They give him a lot of attempts, but it's a lot of stuff out of the backfield, too.
Yeah, but I'm saying I think the week before he had over 25, between 25 and 30 carries. So, I mean, he's.
Week before he only had 16.
Really?
Yep. Like I'm telling you, man, they're balanced.
More. Wow.
Nope. Okay. There was actually, his season high was 40 against Colorado State. Other than that, second UNLV, 31 attempts.
Wow.
Yep.
I stand corrected. Thank you. That's why I asked you, because you have everything in front of you.
Yep.
See, JVT's the man. So what do you think this week? Okay, Reno, I was told that there may be an excess of 30,000 at the boy. Oh, here he goes. Here he goes.
Laughing at what, at UNLV fan base? 30,000?
Not just UNLV. Capacity, total capacity. They're hoping about 30,000.
Oh, okay. I wonder how much blue will be in that stands.
I hope not too much.
I hope not, but who knows?
Okay, let me ask you this. And I heard Mitch and Pritch talking about it last week, earlier this week. I think it was Monday or Tuesday. The day Pritch, before he got sick, I think it was Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
If UNLV wins, and obviously it's senior day, and these guys have been through a lot, but obviously going out on a real high note.
Mm-hmm. Keep the cannon for 2 years, 3 out of 4.
Big time.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that they carry Tony off and fans should storm the field?
No. God, no.
Why not?
Why not? Because you want to be bigger than that. You're really going to charge the field for a Fremont Cannon, which, again, like I just said, it's your second year in a row that you've had it, so third out of the last four. Mm-hmm. So this is old news. We're used to painting the cannon red by this point if they win, okay? Two, Tony's building a program, right? One day, you want to charge the field when you carry them off after you're done with an undefeated Mountain West season, not when you go, I don't know, what was it, 4-4 in play, and you barely beat a Reno team, because I think it's going to be a close game.
I disagree.
And so
with that.
No, you don't charge the field and take down the goalposts for a five-win season.
I didn't say you don't.
No, but I'm just saying, you don't, no, relax. I mean, UNLV, yes, carry Tony off if you want to. That's the team. That's their celebrations. Don't charge the field for a fifth win.
I would agree with that.
Of course. I'm the one that got mad at UNLV for storming the court after they beat number 3 Arizona at the Thomas and Mack. Oh, yeah. You want to know my theory? Because trust me. No, this fan base out here, especially when it came to basketball, especially around that time when UNLV had a lot of high expectations, like, we need to compete for a national title, then you don't charge the floor when you beat the third overall team on your own home court.
Okay, but you'll see when Duke and Carolina play, and it's a close game, and whoever wins. I've seen Dukies charge the field, and I've seen Tar Heels.
Yeah, it's stupid.
I don't think it's stupid.
That is.
I think what it is is
storming the court or field has become jump the shark. It's let's do it for every single what looks like a big win. No, save it.
Now, see, I disagree. I think when you look, you have to. It allows the fan base, and these guys are students and they're contemporaries for the most part. I mean, you
go ahead. Sorry.
When you were at UNLV,
mm-hmm.
did you have classes and know guys that played on a football and basketball team?
I shared classes like one or two of them. Yeah.
Did you know him on like a?
No, not on like. I talked to Omar Clayton back in the day like a couple times. He's an old UNLV quarterback.
Yeah, I know who Omar is.
Yeah.
But
he would not know me. It was just like a couple conversations, and I met him like once or twice outside.
See, I guess that's different because I was an athlete,
mm-hmm.
so I would talk to everybody in my class, and I made them feel like they're part of the team because when you have a fan base and you have your contemporaries at your games and they're rooting you on and they're invested. This, when they charge it, you're like, you're sharing these moments with them.
No, that's fine. But again, do it for a big, monumentous occasion.
But yeah, but see, okay, I can see this weekend not doing it. I wouldn't do it. I'd carry Tony off, Vama's a senior. You get Tao and McAleenan, Tori, you know, those type of guys. Yeah, they them carry Keys, Hawthorne. Like, yeah, carry, put them on your shoulders, carry them off. I don't think this week if you win, you storm Sam Boyd. I think.
And here's another thing to build on what you were telling me too, to make the fan base part of the team. You mean the part of the team that didn't show up until the final week? Like, that's the fan base that gets to charge the field and share this moment.
But see, okay, I seen the tweet.
We weren't here all week.
I seen the tweet.
Or all year. But
I seen the tweet from you guys had the Rebellion on Cofield and Company this week.
Oh, yeah, Steve had him on.
Okay, so I obviously, can you recap that? Because I honestly didn't listen.
I know they weren't really used to being on radio. The one kid who was on the set with them kind of clammed up a little bit right when we came on. I mean, they kind of didn't do much. They just said the same thing. We'll have tailgates. We're sending out tweets about Reno. Come out and join us.
Do you think that, because you kind of know what they're attempting to do as mm-hmm. far as, do you think that is a step in the right direction for the Rebellion, the UNLV student section?
Well, yeah, of course. They're attempting. They're trying, right? I mean, they're doing their best to do what they can. I mean, that's fine, but I don't know if breakfast sausage and mean Bratwurst. Tweets about Reno are going to really is what really gets people out to the games, or at least students. I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, it's when I call it the Rebellion, it's students as a whole. You got nothing going on, especially if you're a full-time student on campus. What are you doing? Go get your free tickets and show up. And I'm sure they haven't changed it. There should be a shuttle from campus to Sam Boyd.
I think there is.
Yeah. So there was when I was there.
I would say.
But yes, the Rebellion is taking the right steps. I will extend my olive branch because I guess that's important.
Oh, we have an Oprah moment.
Yeah, right?
That's an Oprah moment. JVT extending the olive branch to the Rebellion.
But also notice my sarcastic, if that's important. My opinion shouldn't really matter, to be honest with you.
Look, here's the deal. I really think, and when I say this, I'm not talking to the Rebellion in particular. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking to Matt, who is the president of the Rebellion, who I actually have gotten to know a little bit on a personal level. He's a good dude.
I'm sure they are, yeah.
He's a good dude. For the fans that want this program to be successful, you can't sit at home drinking your Coors Light or your Natty Ice and
watch this on ESPN 3.
And watch it on your computer and chill out. You need to show up. And it's not just against Reno. Like, you need to show up against Jackson State. You need to show up against Idaho.
Yeah.
You need to show up against Colorado State at a 2:30 kickoff. You need to show up against Fresno State. These are the games, and I agree with you, and I'm agreeing with you. They need to show up because you can't expect – As a former player, there's times where you need your crowd. You need to feed the energy off your crowd. Your crowd gives you an extra boost. A perfect example is I'll use my son. He's here today, as you guys know, and he had a great game yesterday. I mean, he balled out yesterday. Very, very proud. With the group of kids and a team that he's never met before.
Mm-hmm.
He only knows his cousins on the team. And the honest to God truth is, I was driving him home last night, and I said, "So you had a really good game. What do you think?" And he's like, I had pressure on me today. I said, "What do you mean?" He said, he named all the family members that were there.
Mm-hmm.
So they know. They know when people are there, and they want to play well for them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's no different with the student section. You need to show up and be rowdy. You need to and be football smart. When the offense has the ball in the red zone, shut the hell up. When the opposing team has it, get loud, get rowdy, have freaking pictures of their president in a bikini, like hold it up there. Whatever you got to do, you know, big cutouts of them, make fat heads, make a Tony fat head like you see at the Parkway Tavern in the Red Room. Like, have all kinds of stuff. Go nuts. That's great. And the players turn around, they'll see it, and they're like, okay. Like, all right, and that's going to turn them up a little bit. And then all of a sudden the whole place is lit and everybody's having a great time and it's rowdy. I mean, look at Wisconsin. End of third quarter, going into fourth. They play jump around. The whole stadium, Campbell Stadium. I forgot the name of the stadium. I know it too. I'm going to remember it later. But where they play, they're jumping up and down. The stadium is moving. Walter Camp Stadium, I believe. But the stadium was jumping, and you could feel the stadium moving. Mm-hmm. Looking in Seattle when Marshawn Lynch had that had the Beast Quake run.
Camp Randall.
There it is. I knew it was Camp was something. Camp was in it. But then, you know, when he had that run and he ran through those Saints, it was a small registered earthquake out there. Like, get a stadium like that. You're going to tell me that that's not a uplifting moment, or you don't feel that as a player? Come on. And players can only do so much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is up to Tony to put out a product on the field that will make people come out, give them reason to come out. But you're going for your fifth win.
Well, I was going to say, and if you actually paid attention this season, there were multiple home games where there was a reason to show up.
Yeah.
Colorado State, you're on the verge of becoming 500, right? And it'll help towards bowl eligibility.
Right, Fresno
State. Nobody shows up. Yeah, there's tons of examples where people should have shown up for a game. I mean, look at Wyoming. Yeah. Nobody showed up for that game, and look what you missed out on.
Hell of a game.
Exactly.
One hell of a game. Mm. All right, so this is going to be a shorter podcast. We've gone long most of the time, and we're probably going to go short now. Let's go to predictions. Who do you like? Why and score?
42-35, UNLV wins the Fremont Cannon for second year in a row. Three out of the last four. They have a better running game. If you can run the clock, control the ball, give something for Kurt to lean on, and he just has to take care of it and complete, I don't know, 10, 11 passes on Saturday, fine by me. UNLV does it. Lex comes back. Even if he doesn't, I still have confidence in the running game to control essentially the entire game,
yep.
Win time of possession, all that good stuff. UNLV's defense, that's another thing. They've given up some yards and some points this season, so I think Reno gets their fair share of points. UNLV ultimately wins out.
Close game. I also like the Rebels, and I said 2 weeks ago I like them by 10. I'm going to go UNLV.
By 17.
55-28 in a blowout.
Is that 27-28 points?
Yeah. I don't care if I'm right or I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
All I know is that.
I think you picked UNLV to win every game this season,
no,
right?
No, I did not.
Okay.
I didn't pick them to win Wyoming. I didn't pick them to pick UCL. I didn't pick them to win UCLA.
Okay.
But last week, last week was my upset pick. I'm allowed one upset pick a year, I would think. That was my upset pick. I was wrong. But I covered in points. That's all that matters. I covered in points. I take UNLV plus the 28.5. That's what I said, right?
Or, I guess. I don't know.
I did. You know it.
No, I mean, I guess if that's what you're saying, that's what matters. I don't know. When you're picking straight up, don't go on the 28 side. Come on. You can't take the 28 points when you're picking straight up.
Peanut, who do you like, UNLV or Reno? Give me a score.
I'm taking UNLV 44-24.
44-24. There you go.
20-point win right there.
What grade are you in?
Freshman.
You're a freshman?
Yeah.
So how long have you been out here? Because I know you guys just moved out here, right?
December. It'll be about a year, yeah.
So when you watch UNLV, as you grow up and play football, would you have any interest in playing over there?
Yeah, but if I have, like, different offers, I have to explore my decisions.
Yeah.
No, okay, good. So if Coach Sanchez came to you right now and said, you know, Peanut, you know, we think you have potential. We want to extend an offer to you. Obviously, you wouldn't accept it because I think it's stupid to offer kids and then accept it before.
Yeah.
Because you're but what would you? How would you feel about that?
Excited. I'd be happy. I mean, just humble to get a first offer. You know.
Do you think that the program's heading in the right direction?
Sometimes, depending on how they, like, when I watch the game, I'd be like, dang, they're just not playing well. Like, why would I want to go there?
He'll say they're trash. It's exact words. They're playing trash.
Yeah, sometimes, like, when you watch a game, when you watch a game like Colorado State, you know, that'll make you probably like, I don't want to play there. But okay, how about this? Because you're a freshman, so let's say by the time you're a junior, UNLV's gone to their first bowl game, and they've won, like, 8 games the year before, 10 that year.
I would,
which is crazy, by the way, but
I'd probably
new football complex, new stadium, huh?
Yeah, probably in like the top 3.
Okay,
because then I'm pretty sure once that happens, they'll probably get just new stuff.
Yep,
like new gear. Just
is that important to you? How they look, the uniforms and everything.
Yeah. You like their uniforms?
Yeah, I think they're nice.
But I like the black helmets. I like the red.
Oh, the blacks when they are. Oh, they're nice.
They should do that with the red ones too. They should just go with that.
I've always wondered why. I mean, as much as I like UNLV, the UNLV logo with the letters is kind of lame. You roll with something else. Hey, Rev's the thing.
What do you think about the job Coach Sanchez is doing? I know you got a chance to meet him when you came out to spring practices.
I think he's doing well from them not doing so well for the last couple of years. So I think 4-5, that's a big thing for people out here in Las Vegas.
He says that because he's just a USC winning.
Yeah.
But the last couple of years, they were a 5-6 win team, too, 7 win team. So
what you met from Sanchez, would you want to play for him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seemed like a cool coach.
Hey, when he signs on with UNLV, when he's a senior, we're going to play this back. We'll keep
for real.
It.
Real, yep. Keep it in the reels.
When you're a 4-star athlete and they're like, okay, we need you. And you got offers from Alabama and Oregon. You're like, nah, I'll stay at UNLV. I like it.
I hope. Alabama, Oregon, I hope.
They'll be trashed by then. Saban will retire. Helfrich has already run Oregon in the dump.
Oregon's got as many championships on the side of their helmet. Actually, that they broadcast how many championships they have on the side of their helmets. That big O, zero. No again. That's the thing. I'll say this. Tony's done a very good job. And I look at schools like Houston, who, as this is being recorded, is losing to Memphis with the hottest name coach out there and coming off arguably their biggest win of the year. You look at them and you see what UNLV can be in a matter of a couple years. New complex, new stadium, the type of talent. I mean, they got their first 5-star recruit who's a dominant defensive lineman. You're going to see that with UNLV. And I'll say this, in terms of recruiting, before we get out of here, they're having a Rominger's out here this weekend, the linebacker we had on.
Yeah.
They have about five guys that's coming. I've heard through the grapevine that Savon Scarborough from Centennial High School out here in Las Vegas will be there this weekend. He'll be a big time addition if they could land him. But at the end of the day, this program is not that far away if they can continue to get the guys. They're gonna have another highly rated recruiting class, maybe the best in the Mountain West this offseason. And when it's all said and done, if they win five games this year, they beat Reno like we all hope and expect, you have an opportunity to see a team grow, and then next year the expectations will be a bowl game. So anything less than that would be unacceptable. And then you'll have kids like Peanut wearing more UNLV gear around town. And it comes down to what you want to believe in this program. We're going to have, the wrap-up show next week, and hopefully we're talking about major things going on. We get into basketball, too. So, folks, I hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving. Hopefully you got a chance to veg out and watch a lot of football, eat a lot of turkey, and going out to T&M tonight. UNLV's playing
TCU.
TCU is going to be a good one. That's going to be a good one.
This is their first challenge. It's going to be a good one.
They against NAU, they look really good, a lot better against NAU than they have with anybody all year.
Yeah, the thing with this team, I know it's only been 4 games. They've won 3 in a row, but they improve from game to game, and that's the big thing. They have some injuries coming into this one, which might play a factor. Chris Jones, forward transfer from St. John's. He's got a foot deal going on, so we don't know what happened with him because he just all of a sudden was a scratch right at the start of the NAU game. And there was no indication that he was going to miss that one. And then Shekna Dembele, freshman big man, who looks like he has some potential, some upside, but he's been dealing with the same thing. And he only played in the first half last game, and then they took him out for the rest of the game. And he's been in and out with that heel that he's still been dealing with.
Maybe we see the Latvian. The Russian getting in there.
Georgie Slavonchinen.
Yeah.
Did you see what he did last game?
No.
NAU?
What did he do?
3-for-3 from 3-point land.
He had 9 points for a big man?
He had 15. I think he had like 10 or 13, something like that.
What?
Yeah, man. He was He was wheeling and dealing. I'm going to look this up right now. Georgie Slavonchian is my guy.
Slavonchian is JVT's click to pick.
Oh, yeah. Of course, I think this game, this is the game where, like, the last three games, essentially, Marvin's been going really deep in the bench and almost going, like, 9 or 10 deep. This is the game where I think you're going to see that kind of taper off, and he's going to want his 6-7 guys in there because TCU, I mean, they go deep, and they're pretty good.
Right.
Jamie Dixon's got them playing well.
Well, I think the next four games are going to be really big games.
Yeah.
You know, you got Reno at home.
I don't think they play Reno for a minute.
Right. Obviously you got Duke coming up, Kansas and Oregon. I'm just saying, like, in the near future.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And you got TCU, obviously, tonight.
If they win, they'll play the winner of Washington. I can't remember what the other team is. Either way, but if they lose, obviously they'll play the loser.
Right.
Selfishly, kind of hope they lose because then tomorrow they play at 5 o'clock and then my day will be a lot shorter.
So, yeah.
I got a busy day tomorrow, my friend.
Well, I'm with you on that. I got a football tournament in the morning, UNLV in the afternoon, and probably another football tournament in the evening. Yeah. But back to what I was saying, SUU, is it Southern Utah?
Yep.
That's going to be a big one.
Todd Simon, former interim head coach here.
Yep.
Hosting his old team.
And then of course, you know, like I said, then you'll have Reno. I mean, you have a tough road, but I give Menzies a lot of credit because he is the type of coach that's just going to get them and make them better across the board. And like you said, you see it every week. Jeff Wadalove, who covers the basketball program for Inside the Rebels, he's very adamant on what he sees out of Menzies and the improvement that he sees week to week. And he echoed what you said as far as them getting better week by week, game by game. So I thought Menzies was a good hire, especially with the way everything went down. And he's a guy that wants to be here. So I'm interested to see how this goes. I'm probably going to end up popping up at one of the games this weekend, maybe even tonight. My brothers, they want to go do something.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be something where we let the wives go do what they do and we we go catch a game or two. So, but that's it for this week's show, guys. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I know it was all over the place, but that's kind of like the day for us because it is a holiday and JVT is coming down from his whiskey weekend.
Yeah.
And just so you guys know, while this show is being recorded, John is rocking the Hey Reb black hat and a red UNLV shirt. Shows what he's trying to do. This is a no blue zone.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And to be honest with you, I just didn't have any clean, comfortable clothes. So I was like, I'll just throw this stuff on.
Yeah, see, you had to say that. I was trying to, you know.
I'm an impartial journalist, my friend.
That means JVT's rocking a red shirt tomorrow in the press box.
No. Neutral. We'll go black.
What do you think of the uniform choice this weekend before we get out of here?
I didn't see it. What is it?
Red helmet, red shirt, white pants.
I think you got to go all red, right?
Yeah, but they're going white pants.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like you had to go all red. You want to paint the Fremont Cannon red. UNR's coming to town. Yeah, I feel like you had to go all red in that situation.
I would agree. But I don't think they wanted to do a complete red out, which I don't know why.
I think it would make most sense on this day. They went red out against Jackson State, right? Yeah, like the first game of the season, I believe they did.
Did they wear red pants?
I believe they did.
Huh.
To be honest, when you wear white, I think you got to wear all white. That's super clean.
The white on white is very clean. Yeah. That's one of my favorite uniform combinations, actually.
Yeah.
So, this boy over here. Anyway, my son's like, come on, I want to go with my cousins now.
Yeah.
All right, guys, have a great weekend.
Oh, look at this. Oh, never mind. Yeah, I thought I turned around. I thought they had tied it up. I'm like, what the hell happened?
Look at that basketball up in the monitors. Guys, have a great weekend. Enjoy yourselves. See you out at Soundboy. Come out and enjoy the festivities. Help keep the Fremont Cannon red. I want to thank UNLV for all the access they've given us all year. JVT, ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM, Mark Seidel. Everybody that's joined us. This is not the last show. We'll have a couple more. But I just want to, you know, get that out the way. And you guys mostly for listening. And for JVT, you can get at him on Twitter, at me, JVT. You can get at me, at Joe Arrigo, or at Inside the Rebels. Email questions to us at insidetherebels@gmail.com. For JVT, I'm Joe Arrigo alongside Peanut. Have a great rest of your weekend, everybody. Peace.